Good morning, Big Joe.
I was hoping we
all you
gotta
do is
that.
You just tell Big Baby not to play it next time if you don't like it.
Sorry, really, Joe, my fault.
The Pigskin
Sorry,
Preachers
Big Baby.
The Pigskin Preachers with me, he loves
it. You do what you want. You're in the big chair.
That's a good point. I have lost all control. I don't know if you listened to the show yesterday. You would have never known that I was actually in the studio. It sounded like I had lost control then, but nevertheless. Joe, I appreciate you joining us. How are you?
Yes, sir. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. At the end of this interview, I want to make sure we get your thoughts on the Final Four because, as I told somebody earlier, if you don't pick Michigan, the Pigskin's going to sulk, and I can't have it. So better to do that at the end.
Joe, you have to tell the truth. Don't just try to make me feel better. You just lay it out so we can play it out.
That's what Izzo's told his kid, and then his kid picked Duke, and he disowned him. So
and then the kid's out of the house. Now he's an orphan.
Yeah, don't believe him, Joe. He doesn't mean it. He'll call God and wish bad things on you. You don't need that. He's got the hot
line.
No, I
don't.
So, okay, I don't even know how to get into this with a guy who coaches, but the Rutgers video is, like we've said before, it's kind of a no-brainer. It was just a question of how far the punitive damage would go with the administration. Well, it fell to the AD today, which didn't surprise me. To me, anybody who saw that video and kept a guy on staff following that, it was kind of a no-brainer. I would think that their athletic director was next to follow. Have you ever been around a coach that behaved in any way like that where video cameras were not around, or do you think that was somewhat unprecedented?
No, I mean, I've seen incidents, and they're a one-time thing, mm-hmm. But I've never seen it repeatedly happen over the course of a practice or practices. There's times, when you're in a high-intensity, pressure-packed profession, there's going to be times in any profession, in the boardroom or in the meetings or with individuals or whatever, there's going to be blow-ups and there's going to be things that happen, but they're not, they don't go on and on and on over the course of the whole meeting for 2 hours. And then the next day when you have the meeting, it goes on again. And the next day. And the next day. So, things happen. But to that extent, no, I've never seen that.
How much do you guys plan out as far as, because I know there is sometimes I'm sure you guys get edgy with your guys. Sometimes you want to be, there's the good cop, bad cop thing. Do you guys discuss that at all, or is it sort of you go on feel and you get a good feel for how you want things done and, like, when you're dealing with a head coach like Steve? Do you guys sort of understand how you guys go about business, or is that something you guys actually talk out about how you want to deal with the kid?
Well, you have to be demanding. You hope that you don't have to raise the volume. You hope that you don't have to, yell or, have drills or make people run or line up and get on the line because we're not boxing out or we're not closing the gap or not taking the charge or not making the extra pass. You never go into a practice saying, but the thing you have to do is you have to, you can't give in. You can't make it optional. There's certain things that you have to do to win games. And those things cannot be, I don't feel like it today during this game, or I don't. There's certain things that you got to hang your hat on that if you win and you win big and you win consistently, that those things are accomplished, not perfect, but they are strived for at every practice, at every game, every time out. And so sometimes when dealing with younger kids, and I was one of them, I remember coming back, from the Olympics. I'm sure I've told you this. And, I wasn't taking charges. I probably thought I was too good or it didn't apply to me because I was a big man on campus and Coach Sutton stopped practice one day and lit into me and then lined everybody on the team up. And they drove from half court, and I took a charge from everybody on the right side of the court. And then he lined everybody up. He had them go over to the other side, and I took a charge from everybody on that side of the court. So he didn't lay any hands on me, but he made sure every guy on that team ran my butt over, I can tell you that.
He gave you the Robbie Benson treatment.
Right.
He puts you up against the wrestler. I like it.
Well, he
right.
earned his scholarship. You know, that kind of answers my question, Joe. I was going to ask, of all the coaches you played for, which is the one that you wanted to most smack upside the head? And obviously, Coach Sutton must go to the top of the list.
Oh, no, you could never want to hit him.
I was going to say Knight.
He's got beautiful curls.
I read Season on the Brink about Indiana in 86. I could not understand how Daryl Thomas didn't smack Knight in the head.
Again, times are different. I mean, and you have to evolve. But, I mean, I never thought about smacking Coach Sutton. I mean, because at the end of the day, I had it coming, you know. I mean, you know, everybody on the team's supposed to take charges. You go there and you know that he's a big believer in this. And you've seen other guys not do it and be chastised for it. And if you can't figure that out, then you get what you deserve. So
see, that wouldn't have been a painful drill for Coach K at Duke, though, because you would have been flopping before any of your teammates actually made contact with you.
Oh, that's a nice. Yeah.
They don't teach that. They don't teach that.
Hey, way to bring a little hate, preacher.
See how he is. Everybody dislikes Duke. You know that, Joe. Okay, so speaking of Duke, a former Duke player, Shane Battier, has now joined in the Joe, I don't want to get you in trouble here, but I'm going to bring this up. Mark Cuban started it, and Shane Battier piled on. Okay, there was talk this week about Brittany Griner and whether or not she could potentially make an NBA roster. Mark Cuban said, if I didn't draft her in the second round, I'd at least let her come to summer workouts and see what she could do. Now Shane Battier thinks it's only a matter of time before they get a woman in the NBA. And I'm sorry, maybe I'm an idiot, but I'm sitting here going, really? Joe, am I an idiot, or does this seem a little far-fetched to you?
Well, I mean, I've got nothing against it. I mean,
I don't either. I'm just saying, I don't think it's going to happen.
Are you good enough? Can you earn a spot? Are you legit? You know, to compete against the greatest athletes in the world at the highest level. If you are, man, come on. If you're not, you know, no gimmicks, no goofiness. Brittany Griner could not make an NBA basketball team.
She has hands that are bigger than LeBron, but if LeBron took a running start and ran into her, he would kill her.
Well,
he would absolutely kill her.
And I have two daughters, and one of them plays basketball and was a pretty good player. And
yeah, very.
Yeah, I'm all for it, but she would. She's 6'8", which is an average size in the NBA. She's had 18 dunks over her four-year career. Even my non-athletic self had more dunks than that. I think I had 19. So at the end of the day, it's a physical. I mean, you know, the physical nature of the game, the athleticism of the game. It's not the same game, and so it's great if she's good enough. Man, absolutely. But she's not good enough. So I think it's another case of Mark Cuban liking to hear himself talk.
And Shane Battier, Joe, I mean, this is a guy, far be it for me to argue with a guy who's a world champion and a Duke grad, but he says, I don't know if it's Griner or someone who is 5 years old right now, but we'll see it. It'll happen in our lifetime, just the law of averages. And I'm thinking, who am I going to – I'm going to argue with a Duke grad about the law of averages. Probably not very smart on my part, but nevertheless, it seems a little out there to me. Nevertheless,
well, again, I'm for it. I'd like to see it, but I don't think it's going to happen. So
I agree with you, 100%.
You know, I don't have a problem with it if they're good enough. I don't think I'll ever see it. So, but you know, Shane's got a little longer to live than I do. Apparently, he's a little younger.
Well, if he lives to be 190, maybe so. Okay. Speaking of far-fetched ideas, it is far-fetched for most people to believe that Ed Rush was joking when he made comments about Sean Miller getting teed up, which, of course, only moments later, seemingly, he actually did get teed up for the first time. This, to me, was something that I actually didn't think would come to pass. I actually did not think Ed Rush would step down, but he did. And we've talked about, there's a clip in there in your open that you like so much, of you talking about Tim Donaghy, who's the only other official that anybody seemingly has ever said anything negative about publicly. What was your reaction when you heard about him saying this to other referees about teeing him up and maybe getting some money or a trip to Cancun?
He's an idiot. I mean, you can't, if you're in a position of leadership, you know, I mean, and you think you're joking, well, if I'm joking and I'm going to say something like that, and it's going to be, you know, somebody who's a friend of mine, like you and I are out playing golf and we're sitting over there and I'm like, I'm tired of Sean Miller acting this way. You know, they need to run him up and tee him up so he'll shut up, you know. But, you know, I'm not going to get in front of all my officials who probably, if you're a leader, it's safe to say, it's like when you get up and at the buzz in front of everybody, it's probably safe to say that there's one or two people, or maybe in your case, 95% of the buzz people who work there that don't like you. Yeah?
Yeah, that's probably safe. As hard so you might, as much as that hurts, it's probably true.
I'm kidding, but I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, you can't say that. I mean, you can't. Here's. I see you've got a gun that doesn't have any bullets in it. Well, here, let me go get you some bullets before you point it at my head. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, it's just you can't. From a leadership, you know, now it's coming out that I heard on the way in here today that. One official was sitting there and they're going, well, they said Ed Rush is joking. And they looked at him and they said, this guy was a tyrant with us. He said he doesn't joke. He never jokes.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He said during one of the games or something, he threw at halftime, the officials came in there and I guess they weren't calling the game to his liking. And he threw a lunchbox at him or something. I don't know. You know,
he went on Mike Rice on him?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, so... You know, if you're that way and that's your demeanor towards your employee, you probably should not say that because it's going to come back to get you, and it did. So, you know.
Or you can do it like this. Hey, big baby, that thing I told you to do.
If you want to address that,
yeah.
You know what? You during the conference coaches meetings, when it's your turn to get up there to talk, and you don't like how certain people are acting, and you've got the officials and the coaches in the room, you run a tape and you're the head of the officials and your commissioner is there who's hired you and is giving you the authority to say what you're getting ready to say, and you stand up there and go, guys, if you act like this or do this kind of stuff, we're not telling it anymore. We're going to tee you and run you. Am I clear? And that's how you do it, you know, but to say it before the game and then the game's close and it's a 2-point game and now, I mean, you talk about opening, you know, there's always conspiracy theories anyway.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about opening a can, I mean, you've opened a can of, you know, all the games are fixed and, you know, they didn't want, you know, this. They wanted UCLA to win because it's the L.A. area and they wanted better media exposure or whatever. I mean, you've opened it up to where you can't sit there and go, that's not true. And they go, well, look at what your official's doing. You know, they're fixing
right.
the game. So, I mean... You gotta protect yourself to the point of being extreme in what you say and what you do, especially when you're an official.
Big Joe Klein joining us on the Zone, the Revolution Hotline. We're just about out of time, Joe, but I was gonna ask you, we had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on earlier in the week, so for the first time ever I can say you are the second best center that's been on the show this week, and that's the only time I've ever said that. But Any experiences that you can recount to us from playing against Kareem?
Oh, I just remember him shooting that skyhook, and you knew he was going over his left shoulder. You knew that he'd sometimes like to take a dribble and kind of get his balance and get his rhythm, and you would be all over that left shoulder. He would take one big step, jump up, and shoot it. And his waist would be at your nose. And you're like looking up at him. And you're like, you know, from coming from college, you're like, good Lord. You know, it's like, what is happening to me? I mean, I used to have a picture. I don't know if I'd still do with me, like trying to guard that. And I got both hands up and I'm pressed up against him. And it's like his waist is in my, I mean, he's shooting, first of all, he's shooting a hook, which is impossible to block anyway. And then, you know, his waist is like right in my face, and I'm looking up at him like, boy, this is a great idea. This is a lot of fun. I got a chance on this one. It's like me shooting a hook shot on Will, you know?
Yeah.
My fifth grader.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it looked like. It's like he's playing with the kindergartners at recess.
That's hilarious. Did he ever talk during games?
Not much, no. Not very much. No.
Yep. No, it was a good interview. I was actually pleasantly surprised. I wasn't sure how it would go, but it was cool.
I've talked to him since I've retired. I've run into him to a few places, and he's always been very, you know, he was all you know, he never said much when we played. I didn't know him, but since then I've run into him and met him, talked with him a few times. He's always very polite, very pleasant, good dude.
Joe, we're up against it, but I do want to ask real quick, who you like this weekend?
Who do I want, or who do I like?
Who do you like?
Louisville.
And what about the other game?
I like Michigan. I think it's going to be tight, though. I mean, I think, you know, that zone fits, but I think they're a little better.
All right. Well, Joe, we appreciate it. Yeah?
I think Louisville's going to beat Michigan.
Yeah. I'm afraid that's probably the case.
He's probably – Syracuse might beat him, so who knows?
Exactly.
Yeah, that game's going to be tight.
I love the pigskin. He's a realist. He is passionate, but he is a realist. Joe, we appreciate it, man. Have a great
weekend.
All right, guys. And tell Dana they got a great deal going on over here at Antique Brick Outdoors. I know she loves shopping over here.
I don't have to tell her.
she's already aware. She got the flyer.
She's way ahead of all of us.
I guarantee you. All right, Joe, we appreciate it, man. Good talking to you. Thanks.
All right.
Big Joe Klein. It is 10:53. We're a little behind here. We will come back and tell you what's coming up in our second hour in just a moment. We are at Antique Brick Outdoors in Little Rock. Come by, take advantage of up to 70% off in the Big Ten sale outside and all kinds of great deals in the store, too, up to 20% off. Did we give up? But we
always work things out. We're talking to people around the state about the Arkansas Scholarship Lottery. All right, let's talk about